Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
My name's Claire. I heard someone describe the other day those pangs that you feel when you're like you're being stretched into something that you're not very comfortable with as growing pains. So I've got a few growing pains today, talking to you all. But it's all right, I'm here. We're going to talk about someone who I'm coming to appreciate more and more and love more and more. It's not Dave. It's HS. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about what He loves to do, how he gets up to things in our lives and what happens when we start to recognize what He's doing. And we're going to jump straight into a scripture. It's from 1 Corinthians. It's called 1 Corinthians because it is part of a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. It was the first letter, so it's called 1 Corinthians. That just amazed me when I first learnt that. It's from chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. We're going to read it in the NLT, which is, I think, the Bibles that we have, if you have that. And then we're going to read it in the Message. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. And I just want to point out here that word know, so we can know the wonderful things, is not really like a theological doctrine. It's like we perceive, we see something for ourselves, we actually understand and grasp what's going on. It's like I get it because now it's become real in my life kind of know. And in the Message, the same passage goes like this. That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love Him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by His Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God. Except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He's giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learnt it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand personal way. So really, what this passage is telling us is that it's the Holy Spirit that makes all of these wonderful things that God has prepared for us real to us. So we can actually see and understand what God has done. And, Jesus told His disciples in John 16 that the Holy Spirit was coming. Jesus was going to go back to heaven, but that was okay. The Holy Spirit was coming. He was going to be a gift. And He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. And I was pondering this and thinking, that doesn't say when the Holy Spirit comes, you will figure it out and He will come along for the ride, or He will kind of give you some bits and pieces. It's like, actually, He will guide you. He'll lead you into all truth. He's like the ultimate tour guide for this life, this spiritual life, this natural life, the whole lot. He knows His way around really well. And when it says he'll guide you into all truth, again, it's not like He'll guide you into really solid doctrine. Like, He will, but actually that word really means true reality. So He'll actually guide us into true reality. And we know the Holy Spirit is here. He came to be with us in this really dramatic way at Pentecost, which Sarah talked about. And I think what really happens is we start to get to know the Holy Spirit, and he takes us on this journey of discovery. We actually start to discover more and more about who God is and what he's done for us and who we are in him. And this process of discovery is what actually transforms us. So I can tell you that it's a really quick way to achieve a lot of frustration is to try and turn yourself into this Christian that you think God is going to find really acceptable. And you can read every book in Qumran, and you can be really disciplined in your life, and you can say yes to every good like work of ministry and serve your little heart out. But if you don't get to know the Holy Spirit and let him lead you into the true reality of God and who you really are, you'll just be exhausted and cranky and tired, and there's not going to be a lot of peace and joy. So I thought we would do a little bit of unpacking about this verse, which says we've received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So I thought I would tell you about a few little things that I have learnt from the Holy Spirit about what God has freely given us. And I want to tell you about John the Baptist, the wild John the Baptist. He was, for a little bit of context, he was sometimes called the last of the Old Testament prophets. So that just really means that he was the last prophet before Jesus to be sent by God to God's people to speak on God's behalf. And his reason for being, his mission, was to make God's people ready for Jesus. That was his thing. And when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, first laid eyes on him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And I don't know about you, but that is such a familiar phrase to me. But it's so profound because John the Baptist was really well versed in this kind of Old Testament animal sacrifice system. The deal was that God's people were required to bring a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, like a lamb. And then if they made this sacrifice, that what this would it would do, it was it would cover over their sin, and it would make things okay with God again. They could be okay. But that sacrifice, it only ever covered over people's sin. So for John the Baptist to say Jesus is the Lamb of God, he's actually the sacrifice now who takes away the sins of the world, is really wild. Because I realized what happened was I was driving past Thornley Marketplace in the van, and I'd heard this Bible teacher just take this little tangent off what he was saying and start talking about the difference between covering sins and taking them away. Like covering, they're still there. They're covered, we're okay. But I don't know, it's not the same as being taken away, like taken out of existence. Your sins actually being removed, not just out of sight, but out of the story. Like, that's really good. I just felt like before God that my sins really were covered, like I believed in Jesus. Da, da, da. But I felt like he was still really aware of my compromise, like just massive life history of compromise and failing and inadequacy. And like he could overlook that to a degree. But I had so much shame that I just could not actually get rid of. And this belief that how can I step into the fullness of God's plans for me with this history? But that's just not the deal. It's the New Testament. Jesus has come. Sin is not an obstacle. Sin is not a primary obstacle in my relationship with God. It's not a secondary issue. It's a non-issue. And when I heard this little 2-minute covering versus take away, like I just felt the Holy Spirit drive that into my heart and say, this is it now. You just stop. Stop thinking in that old way. I've got a new way of thinking, and you've got to stop. Just stop. Stop worrying about the sin thing. It's been dealt with. I want to do a little jump into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The second letter to the church of Corinth. Verse 17, I'll just read it to you. "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right through Christ, right with God through Christ. I just think it's amazing. It's not just believers who've been forgiven by God. Paul makes it clear that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient for everyone. This sin thing, it's not an obstacle between you and God, me and God, anyone. So, Holy Spirit starts to unveil all of this stuff to us. We start to actually get a grip on it and becomes our reality. What else happens? If we take a step of faith and we say, actually, yes, I'm in lack. There's something lacking and broken in me and in my life that minimalism cannot fix, and practices of gratitude cannot fix, and being really doing really meaningful, passionate work. Like it's all good, but it is not when I'm not completely busy and distracted and I'm being really, really honest. It's not actually, there's still something in me that's not quite there. It's actually not enough. I'm actually not enough. When you realize that and you say, okay, I'm going to take you up on this, Jesus, I'm going to receive this forgiveness that you're holding out, and I'm going to choose to enter into this new life, this reborn life. Now we need, we really need the Holy Spirit, because he's rolling up his sleeves at this point and going, okay, all this stuff, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Holy Spirit is now going to start making that your reality. And it starts in your hearts, and it's a life's journey. It's like the whole way through, understanding the things that God has freely given us. That's like our life now. And like I said, you know, I'm really quite a slow learner, and the Holy Spirit has had to massage this into me that you have to stop acting like your access to God depends on how good you were as a Christian today. Like, did you nail it as a parent, or were you just awful? Like, you still get to get into God's face and get into his presence, and that, like, it's all grounded in God's faithfulness to us. It's not grounded in our faithfulness. Thank God. Thank God. It's just amazing that this door is always open to us. And I am coming to the understanding now that we're in this relationship that is guaranteed. And if I do something that's hurtful to God, if I decide to get in a big flustery panic and say something awful and, you know, just cooperate with fear instead and just ignore everything the Holy Spirit is saying to me about who I am and what I've got, then I need to say sorry to God and to whoever. And I need to own that. And I need to say, Holy Spirit, I really need your help. I really screwed that up. Please talk to me about the mindset shift that I need to make. And that we're just transformed in that process. But we don't need to keep on like doing things to be forgiven, to get back in that place. We're in that place. We're in that place all the time. And we're working in that place of being forgiven, loved, accepted. Now we're going into our new reality. So this verse 17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. So the Bible says when we decide to receive this forgiveness and to step into the embrace of God and follow Jesus, that this exchange happens. That our old nature, our old identity, which is all wrapped up in our self, my own opinions, my own experiences, my own failings, my own judgments, all of those things get handed over, and Jesus hands to us a new nature and a new identity that is now joined to Jesus. And that nature has everything that we were designed and created and made to be. And I think that's actually really wild. It's like we're given back who we were originally designed to be, with access to everything, all access available. And that's why people get baptized. They're publicly stating that their old identity, their old nature has been buried, it's gone under the water, and now they're coming back up and they're going to embrace their new life, their new identity, their new self, this self that is loved by God, treasured by God, face to face with God, dead to sin, alive to the Spirit, all of that stuff. But, like, sometimes people have really dramatic experiences where they change like that. But that's not the norm. Like, we're in process, really in process. I think what happens is we're made completely right with God, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and he says, your new reality, your new nature has been given to you, and now I'm going to guide you into it. So let's go. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are saying, there's so much we've put into you that we're so excited to bring out, and we've made you to uniquely express God's love to the people around you, and, you know, this is exciting. And so now there's two ways to go, and I've tried both quite extensively, and I can tell you, you'll know by the end which way is the way to go. So this is one way. You have faith. Confident faith in one hand. Faith that God loves you and he says, he is who he says he is, you are who he says you are. And in the other hand, you have humility that you actually don't have it in me to make myself look like Jesus. And I actually cannot conjure up in any truly authentic, sustainable way, like more peace, a less resentful attitude to something, like more patience with whoever, small often. So I have to look to my friend Holy Spirit, because like I need to step into this new reality, and suddenly I have a conversation with him and he starts to remind me about who I am, who he is, this incredible abundance that he's got for me. Like, there's all this peace that he can give to me if I would just take a second to look and maybe sit still and just have a little moment. Or he talks to me and says, you know, you ran away from that. Why did you run away from that? Because I was scared. And then we have to have a little talk about, you know, what that looked like. I need a new perception of so many things, and that's what Holy Spirit does. So he really starts to draw us away from our own limited resources and into his limitless resources. And if we go with this, like, faith here and humility here thing, we can be quite restful, because we know that we've got an amazing tour guide and he's actually got it under control. And he's made provision for us, and we know that he knows that we're learning, and he does not expect a perfect performance. He just really would like us to listen, and we're growing. So we really want to be able to. We need to understand that he's patient, a lot more patient than we are. And that there is just a lot of grace. We really cannot touch the size of the grace that there is for this learning process. There is an alternative. So we can struggle and wrestle and get really impatient with ourselves and get really impatient with God and try to grab back this responsibility of maturing and changing ourselves. We want to change ourselves. We want to change the people around us. And we also get really busy. We get really busy doing all this stuff because actually all of our insecurities are coming up, and it's like we have to prove to ourselves and to God that we're actually worthy of all of this love and all of this attention. And what happens when we do that, and that's called striving, is it ends up with us making everything in our lives really small and manageable. Because if everything is small and manageable, It happens because we're not really listening to who we are and what we're being invited to do with God, because we're really busy kind of doing things for him and just being aware of our own capacities and limitations. And we're just going to miss, we're going to miss a lot if we don't get to know this friend, Holy Spirit, and recognize his hand on our shoulder, or like the way he just directs our attention to something, the questions that he lets bubble up in our spirits, or like the elbow and the ribs when you really just need to listen. And he really does want to help. He even knows how to connect with us when we don't know how to connect with him. And I think what starts to happen is, you know, we realize all of this stuff is being poured into our lives and poured into our hands, and after a while you can't hold it all, and then it starts to overflow. And suddenly you have like some actual love to give, and you actually want to talk to people about this love that's so strong that it changes everything. And Holy Spirit is going to be there with you because he wants to do it together, because he actually really likes being with you. I had this experience. We won't go into huge detail about all the different ways he has to communicate with us, and I thought we probably all had different experiences of words and questions and pictures and feelings and looking at something and realizing God's talking to us about it. But I had this experience a little while ago where I was looking at this, I was driving up to do school pickup, and I looked at this little boy who's one of Leo's friends, who I've looked at 100 times and never really felt anything. Just another regular little 6-year-old boy, of which I know 100. And this time I looked at him in the car, and the crushing love and longing that I felt was so overwhelming. And I've never, like, it's not like I've ever thought that before. He's just looked like any other 6-year-old boy to me. And I was like, oh, sobbing in the car, like trying to wipe the tears away as I'm getting out and there's parents around and just looking normal and trying to be functional. But I thought, wow, that is like the smallest taste of God's love for the people around us. And, you know, oh, thank goodness for these little tastes, because it just stops me being so preoccupied with my own day, and it stops me feeling so self-conscious about everything. And so it made me like relentlessly determined to tell this kid and his family how much God loves him. But actually, like, that's a taste of how much he loves everyone around us. It's wild. I remember that it's the simple gospel. God loves me. God loves them. Like, the rest is kind of detail. I want to share one other little quick story very quickly. So sometimes I have dreams, and sometimes that can be Holy Spirit talking to us in the night. And it can be a bit mysterious, because we've got to remember that mystery is part of the deal with God, and not everything is just like black and white and in a textbook. And like, he's got this stuff for us to discover and be unveiled, and he loves that process. I don't always love that process, but he does. So anyway, in this dream, God showed me this false picture so that I could recognize it as false, and then I could see the truth. It was very short. In the dream, I was with a false family, but I've never had that before, so it's not my real family. And this person in my family, my false family, came to me and persuaded me, or wanted to persuade me, to follow this plan that involved locking me in a cupboard and making me look like a victim. And she said, this is going to be done to spite the father. That's really weird, isn't it? That's a short dream. But I pondered that, and I asked Holy Spirit to help me understand it. And I realized that whenever we go along with a pattern of thinking that makes us feel like a victim, because a victim is someone who's passive and powerless and like doesn't have the ability to jump over a hurdle or, you know, manage a situation, that actually hurts our Father's heart when we think like that we'd actually believe and agree with that. And the enemy wants to persuade us that we are powerless sometimes, because that gives him ammunition to take a little swipe at God, and that empowers his spite against the Father, and it causes us to retreat. But it's a really false picture of who we are. We're actually fully equipped to overcome everything that presents itself in our lives. And when I thought about that, and when I realized that the Father loves us so much, and he actually provides, or he makes provision for us in every situation, not just because like he thinks it's a good idea. He does it because he loves us, like he really loves us, and that's why he makes provision for us. That's really powerful. And the fact that when I don't recognize that actually hurts his heart, that really impacted me. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you need to wake me up every time I start thinking that I'm powerless, every time I start thinking like, because, you know, when you think like that for long enough, you really get into self-pity, and that's just a really bad spiral. So when I start heading in that direction, please just give me a little, for goodness sake, I don't want to do that. So what I also want to say is that Holy Spirit's timing is really good. And he has this way of bringing things into our lives at the right time and lining things up to help us as we discover. And he helps us to shift the way we think, with the way we see things, and to deepen our understanding and our experience of God. And what we should do is we should ask, and we should expect, and we should trust that he's the guide, and he's going to lead us into a fuller relationship with God, and he's going to lead us into maturity, and that's what we want. That's what we need. I'm going to pray. So why don't you stand up? And after I prayed, we're going to have a time of communion. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, today I want to acknowledge you and honour you. I want to say thank you so much for all you do in us and through us, and for the untold number of times you tend us and attend to us, guiding us, holding us, comforting us, counselling us, growing us, shaping and loving us, and so often unseen and unacknowledged by us. Thank you. We appreciate you. Please move amongst us now, awakening our spirits up more to the work you're doing. Open our blind eyes and flood our lives with grace and courage to open our hearts and our thoughts and our lives up completely to you. We want to be transformed by you. Amen. Communion. All right, well, I'll tell you what I wrote about communion. I said, this is a little opportunity to practice. We're going to go through this physical, like acting out of our faith. So we're going to take into our hands symbols of Jesus' broken body and his blood. And we're going to take it into ourselves, and we're going to say, Jesus, this sacrifice you've made lets us be joined to you. And we're in this new covenant, a relationship with you where our brokenness and our failings and our inadequacy do not define who we are. And they don't affect how you relate to us and how you love us. Your resurrection life is now our resurrection life, and we are in a glorious process of discovery. So come, Holy Spirit, and let us perceive these truths in a whole new way.